It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so I've discovered a new word. It's not a new word. It's a very old word, but it's one that's been showing up for me lately. I love it. Shown up because I've been watching a lot of these British panel shows on YouTube.
Okay.
The word is camp. As an adjective.
Is applied to, like, entertainment that's...
Excuse me. Entertainment people, most commonly. Somebody is rather camp or not camp.
Okay.
And for those of you playing at home, it's... the closest equivalent we would have here is flaming.
Yeah.
Or also stereotypically gay.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that so now that we all have the same thing in our head, regardless of what we call it, that thing is a real thing. And it has nothing to do with your sexual orientation. Like, that's not... There are people that act that way. Some of them are straight. Some of them are gay. There are people that don't act that way. Some of them are straight. Some of them are gay.
Okay.
And that's why I love it. Because, again, in this country, we normally would say somebody was acting really gay, which, nope. and then the closest we come is flaming, and people would acknowledge, and that's what I had used a lot. Like, that's, but it still has a lot of connotations to that. And to be honest, in some ways, camp does too, but in Britain, they really make a point about, like, they make a distinction. So, like, these comedians, like, there's a guy who is very camp, and is also straight and married to a woman. And it comes up sometimes. He'll talk about, like, masculine things. He would have been like, as a heterosexual man who is still very camp, I get this experience or whatever. And, like, and there's this comedian who's very, a lot of his comedy is about him being gay. And he said, like, when he introduces, like, I'm still gay. And he's like, I feel like I'm sort of camp. And that's the joke. And everybody laughs and things like that. And because I absolutely will do that stuff, and I love being able to talk about it, being able to do that, because and it can be funny, and that's the whole thing. If you look up the original definition for it, it's talking about this very affected, flamboyant type of attitude that becomes so silly that it's amusing.
Sure,
and it's not. The definition technically has nothing to do with homosexuality.
Right,
it's gotten tied
right.
up in that.
That's right.
And I love being camp. I love laughing at other people who are camp, things like this. And I don't want to attach it to homophobia or anything
like that.
Sure. So I'm just really loving the hell out of that. And of course, and the Brits use it all the time. And the Brits, it's weird in places. The Brits can be kind of racist and stuff. And it's all in a very just poking good fun at everybody. And they'll sort of do it. At everybody, and it's still problematic.
Yeah.
And there can be some of that related to this kind of stuff too. But I just love that they're making the distinction, and I want to start using that myself.
The '60s Batman is often called camp and
yes.
campy.
Yeah. No, you often get attached to like kitsch.
Yeah.
It's also a similar thing. But yeah, as like a personality trait, yeah, it's that sort of flamboyant, and think, Mick Jagger, on stage.
Sure, that works.
The weird chicken wing shit he does, and the strutting and everything, and no, and it came up again recently on an episode I was watching of Mark the Week, where a comedian I really love named Greg Davies, he used to be a teacher, and he was talking about sitting for the exams, I think specifically the GCSEs, which is just hours and hours of exams, and he's like, and it gets really boring for the teachers, because you just have to walk up and down the aisles looking and you don't do anything. He's like, and it got so boring that I was enforced, I was forced to invent a game called Camp Isle. And they're like, what's that? It's like, it's the teachers walk down the aisle being as camp as they feel like they can get away with. And he's like, and it really got going after. Originally, we were just sort of swinging the hips a little, and like by the end, I was waggling the finger and all this. But it's one of those games. It's like, but you can't actually disrupt the test, so you have to balance it out. And I think that's hilarious. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world bringing you the latest in Kindle erotic fiction. The Adventures of Jerry the Jackalope Gigolo. Trust me, it is not the weirdest erotic fiction on Amazon by a long shot.
It's a real thing?
No, I'm going to write it right now. Right
okay.
now.
Okay.
I am Evil Tony.
And I am Evil William. Although people probably can't tell the difference between you and regular Tony.
No, we are very similar.
Yeah.
We both take pennies. But honestly, on a podcast, it's hard for people to tell the difference between you also.
I suppose that's true.
Because you're not taking or leaving pennies during
no, they
the podcast.
Don't, they don't see me do that. Or yeah. throw them at young children
if
and
it helps
make them pick
right
them up,
now,
them
he is taking a lot of pennies, and I do not expect him to return any of them.
I will not. And I'll throw them at children and then make them
yes.
pick them up and give them back to me.
Yes.
That's a new trick, though. I've only adopted that in the last couple of years.
Yes. He's not a good thrower, so it's not as evil as you think.
You don't have to tell people that.
I feel like it's fair. I mean, I don't want you going around getting the reputation of, like, blinding children with pennies, because you haven't earned that.
Here's the thing.
They're just like, what was
when
that?
When I have the penny in my hand and I lift my arm to throw it at the child, I want the child to be afraid before I even throw it. And if they think that I'm not good at it, then they won't be afraid.
I don't think a lot of children.
Oh, you don't think so?
I don't think a lot of people.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's fine. We can just say whatever we want.
So, the other day, I'm going to the gym early, because that's what I do.
The evil
and
gym.
I go out to get in the car, and the beginnings of a spider web have formed between the car, the two cars, in the driveway. And I know this not because I see it, because I walk into it.
Right.
And I always hate that.
Yep.
Not because I care about that, but I'm always like, where's the spider? That's always the thing. I'm like, where the hell is the spider? So that always makes me nervous. And I think I spot a little bug or something as I'm getting in the car, and I think that's the spider, so I sort of fling it away or whatever. And I'm pulling out of the driveway, and something big, I assume the spider, big and hairy, is crawling up my calf, my calf, because I'm wearing shorts. I freak, reach down, grab it, and just squish it in my hands
because
I'm terrified to have it. And then I'm like, that's gross, and I'm trying to wipe it off on stuff if I got things in, and then I get it wiped off, and my hand just looks totally clean, but I'm like, really?
Ugh.
And so, I don't know why, but I take my hand to sniff it, and it smells like bug guts.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, ugh. And then, only after all of that has happened, am I like, you know, I have backed out into the street, and I'm like, just on a 45-degree angle, in reverse with my foot on the brake. Maybe I should do something about that. I'm just literally blocking the road.
Wow.
Had not paid attention. And luckily, I mean, it was 5:30 in the morning, so nobody was there. But I was like, God damn. Yeah, no, I was just too freaked out. I was like, I can't cope with this. Yeah.
That's
so
gross. I'm grossed out now.
Yeah. I'm evil. That's how I do it.
I hate spiders.
Me too.
And squish spider guts are even worse.
I'm bad enough. There's a YouTube thing that's like Lucas the Tiny Tarantula or something, and it's the CGI spider, and it's like cute, such that a friend of mine who I think of as being more scared of spiders than me, like, she likes it.
Mm.
I can't watch it.
Mm.
He is cute. I can't do it.
Mm.
He's got. I know I can't handle Lucas, though. All those eyes and.
Yeah, spiders.
I can't cope.
And the goatees. just give you the willies.
For those of you just joining us, here's how the show normally works. There's a hat It's magic. It has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Excuse me. I think that's going to happen a lot.
Bless you.
People, I don't know who, somebody, probably you, the listener. I was worried people thought I was talking to you.
Yeah, right. I'm glad you cleared that up. Not me. I don't do it.
Write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, topics, comments, questions, that shit. Other guys, stupid other guys. No, sorry. Wait, I jumped ahead.
Yeah.
The hat magically, annoyingly, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards, manifest physically within the hat itself that has the information written on them. Some other stupid guys draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them until they get bored, do that for about an hour, and that's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is actually most of it.
Most of it.
And then we, their evil doppelgangers from another universe, have to come in and do it when they don't show up. We don't understand how it works. We don't like it. There we are.
Just happens. Because it's magic.
There's another way you can tell I'm evil, because I'm eating on the podcast. I know you guys hate that. Too bad. I'm evil. Sup.
Oh, the other guy doesn't eat on the podcast?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I've heard it's very rude.
I should do something that people don't like on the podcast.
Like talk.
Good one.
That's a joke that both universes can appreciate.
Yep. I love it.
So, how's your arbitrary period of time been?
Well, it's not been very evil.
Yeah.
It's been I don't know what the weather's like in the other universe, but it's been hot here, so. And evil's not fun when it's hot outside.
No.
It's not fun when it's especially cold either. It's just got to be, you know, just right. Then the evil just is perfect.
I feel like.
But when it's hot, it's not fun.
I feel like a distaste for being all sweaty.
Yeah.
Transcends moral position.
Well, it also saps your energy.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
evil
yeah.
takes energy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Throwing those pennies.
Yeah. You've got to exert some.
A lot
some
of yelling.
Work. Yeah.
Frequently punching and kicking.
Yeah. Physical activities involved very often.
At base level, there's some corporate economics going on.
And it makes you tired if it's hot outside
it does,
and you're trying
it
to
does.
Do it.
It does. Luckily, here in the evil universe, we have great air conditioning with lots of chlorofluorocarbons.
Mm-hmm.
The evilest of air conditioning fluorocarbons.
We haven't had an ozone layer in forever.
No.
Which
we used to have one. It had a goatee, which was extra helpful protecting.
Right. The problem, though, with that is you go indoors to where the air conditioning is, and the people you want to be evil, you know, there aren't any kids where I live.
No.
They're all outside.
I think.
Or in another house.
I thought by law you couldn't have kids near where you lived.
Well, you didn't have to mention that. But anyway, I could go to someone else's house that has kids, but that takes work, and you have to go outside, and it's hot. So. Yeah, when it's hot, there's just not a lot of evil going on.
You can't just sit around and be evil to yourself, or you'll go blind, or something like
something
that.
So I can watch TV and watch.
That's pretty evil.
Watch evil stuff on TV.
Reality shows.
Sure.
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, so it's been pretty boring because it's been hot. I mean, unless what have you been doing for the last several weeks? However long it's been since last time we talked to people.
About the same.
Yeah.
Yep. Sitting around, being evil in my house. This isn't going to sound evil, but I found something out recently.
What's that?
So, actress Sarah Paulson.
Yeah, I love her.
Yeah, I didn't exactly know who she was.
Mm.
And I think part of it is I mixed her up with actress and filmmaker Sarah Pauly.
Mm.
But recently, I saw her in something, and I was like, I want to look up more about her. Well, come to find out, she's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
She's been doing this shit for a long time.
Yep.
As far back as being one of the main characters in a show out of the mid-90s called American Gothic that was a favorite of mine but got canceled after one season.
That was
CBS. It was a supernatural
Sam Raimi?
Thing. Yes. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that till recently either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I loved that show. I was so disappointed it got canceled. It was a amazing show. Mm-hmm. And she was even in that. So I'm looking her up on Wikipedia, and there's the personal life section. I always find that fascinating.
Sure.
Who's married, who's not,
right.
Who's of what sexual orientation,
right.
Who bothers to talk about that, that kind of thing.
Sure.
What their charities they're into. She had a lot of various relationships, all men. And then 2004 to 2009, she dates this female actor and producer who I had never heard of before. And apparently talking about it, she said to somebody, like, her sexual orientation is kind of fluid. And this is, you know, this is just who she was. And now, since 2015, she has been in a relationship with another famous actress whose name I can't remember, but we all know her. She's been around forever. I mean, she's as far back as I think she was the landlady on Bosom Buddies. And if you saw a picture of her, you would immediately recognize who she was. Look it up on Wikipedia, folks. And I don't know why. Like, this is... I know I have a bias. I like lesbians. I always, whenever I hear about lesbians, I'm always like, hey, another woman who figured it out. Because what the hell are the rest of you doing? Jesus Christ. Especially white people. White men are the worst. So I'm always like, hey, good on ya. But there's also this aspect, especially with like a celebrity, that I'm like, and they could do that. Like, they're not hiding this. They're living their life. They found each other. And they're both celebrities, and it's a public thing, and that's okay. And I just love that. And so I think it's really, and it happened that I didn't know the other actress was gay either. And so I'm just, I don't know why, just it warms the cockles of my heart to find that out. So that was cool. And yeah, and also I really like Sarah Paulson too. And apparently I've liked her in a bunch of stuff that I just didn't remember was her.
Well, in, so. In the cult...
Yeah, she's in all the American Horror stuff. Season, she's one of the recurring ones.
Sure. She plays a gay woman.
Ah.
And I think that's the first time in the series that she's done that. I think. No, no, I take that back. She played a gay woman in Asylum also.
All
right. With, what's her name? Is it Chloe Duvall? Or how do you pronounce
yeah,
her
I think
name?
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chloe Duvall.
She was her partner in that. And
Chloe Duvall plays a lot of lesbians, and I don't know if she actually is or if she's just got that look, but she gets cast as a lesbian a lot.
So yeah, there were two seasons where she played a gay woman.
I will say this: we're getting more gay characters in general, TV, movies, books,
yeah,
things like this. And
comic books too.
Comic books. And we're getting more gay characters that aren't in the weird marginalized positions they had been in, that aren't comic relief or the villains or just victims, just there to be victimized, which are very common things for gay characters going a long way back.
Yeah.
They'd show up just so they could be killed, often with the implication that they deserved it or whatever. This was the consequence of being gay.
Sure.
Things like that. And trans characters, we get that, oh, constantly. If somebody's trans, they're going to be dead really soon, or they're the villain. Just all the time. And that still sucks. But we're getting more of these.
Yeah.
I don't like that it feels like it is overwhelmingly lesbians. And to an extent that it happens with trans characters, trans women. Way less often do I feel like we get gay male characters that get to just sort of be characters and don't fall into these things. And I think it's a whole straight guys who are writing these things and directing these things think gay guys are gross and lesbians are sexy.
Hmm.
And as much as I think lesbians are awesome because they're the smartest people on the planet, I would like to see this happen with more gay male characters as well. And more trans men. Trans men have almost no presence in popular culture. Quite a lot of trans women these days, although they still often get marginalized into these fucked up roles. But I hardly ever see trans men.
There's a... There's a story that relates to this going on right now. I don't know.
The Scarlett Johansson.
Yes,
thing,
yes.
Who's playing a character in a movie that's a real character? Who, this was before we had things, terms like that. But essentially, this historical person was a trans man, preferred to be called he, and Mister, dressed and presented as a male. And people are getting mad because Scarlett Johansson is not trans and is getting cast in this role. And this is absolutely a thing. I mean, this is a whole other level. I would love to see Jamie Clayton cast as a cis woman. Jamie Clayton is a trans woman actor. Ooh, she's very good. I would love to see that. That never happens. Trans people frequently don't get cast in trans roles, but they never get cast in cis roles, which, you know, are almost all the roles.
Right.
And the response has basically been, Scarlett Johansson was much more sensitive about the issues with whitewashing with Ghost in the Shell, but in this, her response has basically been, fuck you, look at all these other cis people that play trans characters and won big awards for it. Which, while true, doesn't make it okay. She didn't say fuck you, but
okay, but
she basically said fuck you.
I've never heard of this. I've never heard this get controversial before. Like,
no.
So, but is this something that has bothered the trans community before, and now it's just making more news? Or
I'm sure it has, but
because I always thought like. What's his name? The guy that played in Transparent or whatever. To my knowledge, even the trans community totally appreciated and lauded that performance, and nobody seemed to complain about it.
And until it turned out that he's a fucked up asshole.
Well, besides
but
that.
But yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? I mean,
weird phrasing, but yes.
That's not.
No, absolutely.
I didn't realize that was a
thing.
I think
it's becoming a thing because it's the next step. People were excited about Jeffrey Tambor because, hey, somebody was playing a trans character without them being shit on.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're like,
and
okay.
There were other trans.
Yeah.
Like,
so now we're doing this. So why can't we play them?
Which like in Sense8 and a few other things they have.
Jamie Clayton, it was in Sense8 playing a trans woman, which she is, so that works.
Right.
But I'm like, if they're already relegated to that sort of thing. The closest success story is Laverne Cox. And I think Laverne Cox even... I don't watch Orange is the New Black. Is Laverne Cox trans on that, or is she just a woman?
She is trans. And they deal with some issues. There's a... In the last season, actually, there's a fight in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And because Laverne is bigger...
Yep.
You know, the outcome of the fight is dramatic, and perhaps more dramatic than it would have been that's the suggestion. The implication by the other women is that the outcome of this fight was especially brutal or especially dramatic because, as they claimed, she's not a real woman. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then so. So up till that point, when everybody kind of accepts her, and it's in, yes, she's trans, and actually there's flashbacks.
Yeah.
To her previous life.
Yeah, that are played by her twin brother.
See, I didn't know how they did that.
Yeah. No, she's actually a twin.
Okay.
And her twin brother plays her before she transitions.
Well, it totally works.
Yeah.
I had no idea how they did that. But anyway, So from the very beginning, they note that this is a trans person. They have flashbacks of her previous life. Nobody has a problem with it until there's a fight.
Yeah.
And the fight is the outcome is pretty bad. And then all of the women turn on her. And then she's in solitary confinement, and that becomes a big part of the story.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting, of course, you know, and it's dealing with some heavy issues. But I imagine it's difficult for some people to watch.
But yeah, so she plays a trans character there. She definitely played a trans character in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and those are the only two things I've ever seen her do. Jamie Clayton played a trans woman in Sense8, and actually there was a really horrible flashback scene involving a similar thing with that.
I've often wondered when straight actors play gay characters.
Yeah.
I've often thought, I'm sure there are gay people who wouldn't mind the work, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if the script calls for a person of color, you can't or shouldn't, and you would get in a lot of trouble by trying, as we've seen.
And they have.
By casting a white character.
Yeah.
But you can cast a straight person in a gay role, and that's nothing. Now, I'm not saying it should be anything necessarily. I'm just saying I'm sure there are gay people who would like to have those roles.
And it gets tricky because the argument then becomes, yes, but there's also gay people who play straight roles.
Who would probably like to play a gay role instead?
Not necessarily. I think that's a big assumption.
I don't know if I'm making a blanket assumption.
The
I'm just
point
saying,
is,
don't you think that an actor...
Not necessarily, if they like a part, but...
No, I know that. I'm not... Okay, I'm not...
I'm going to stop you. I had a point that I hadn't even gotten to yet.
Sorry. I just don't want to be misunderstood. I'm not suggesting that gay people can't play straight parts or don't
want
to.
We're going
to
pretend you didn't say that, because, again, I had a point I was making. Okay. I hadn't even got to.
Okay.
The counter-argument, the shitty counter-argument is, yeah, but there's plenty of... There's also gay people who play straight roles, but it's, again, a numbers game and a prejudice game and things like that. Yes, there are, because 99.99% of roles are straight.
Right, right.
So if you say, okay, only straight people will play straight roles and only gay people will play gay roles, then gay actors barely work.
Sure, sure.
And if you're like, okay, we'll let them play straight, well, we'll just let anybody play anything. Ideally, that's beautiful, but that's not what fucking happens.
No, that's right. That's right.
Because basically gay people mostly only play straight roles if they don't tell anybody they're gay until long after they've played a ton of straight roles. Neil Patrick Harris, Ellen Page.
Sure.
People who are out from the beginning never get cast in straight roles.
Mm, that's interesting.
And so it becomes a representation thing. It's the same thing. It's why people say, you're whitewashing these characters. This is an Asian character originally. Why put a white person in there? And then somebody says, well, this was a white character originally, and we put an Asian in there, and say, yeah, because you hardly ever fucking use Asians.
Right.
It's not the same thing. And it's like, it's the whole reverse racism thing, too. It's like, it's not a level playing field.
No.
Yes, in a perfect world, it would all be fluid. And, you know, whoever was the best would get the part. And whoever did it best is wonderful. We're not near there yet.
No. Well, and what I was trying to get at before was that often when it comes to a story, it doesn't, the sex, gender, orientation of the character is not particularly important, like to the plot.
Yeah.
Right? You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So
even more so with the race, unless it's a story about race.
Yeah, exactly. So you can cast a person who, it doesn't matter what their race is, it doesn't matter what their orientation is. And if the actor likes the character, and let's say the actor is gay, and the actor would like to play the character as gay, okay, let's just do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What would be the problem with that?
Well, no. And from Hollywood's perspective, well, they're still really leery about that kind of stuff. But also, they want their top star in there. So we want to make this movie. We want Scarlett Johansson for this part. The fact that it's an Asian character, whatever. Now, if we were making a movie that was much lower budget and indie, we might let you. But we want this to be a big thing. And it's this trans character. We want somebody who's going to have star power, who's going to draw people in. So we're not going to pick somebody that nobody's ever heard of. We're going to... Because name a good trans man character out... I mean, actor out there. I'm sure there are some... I don't know them.
Yeah.
So, like, no, we're not going to give it to them. We're going to give it to Scarlett Johansson.
Because, see, I approach
and that,
it...
And that sucks.
I approach it from the writer's perspective, I guess.
Absolutely.
I mean, I understand the actors who will say, oh, William, it doesn't matter. You know, if I'm a straight actor, I can play gay. If I'm a gay actor, I can play straight. I get all that. But I also understand representation. And I also understand, as a writer, the orientation or race or sex or gender or whatever of the character almost never matters to the plot, almost never matters to anything. The relationships they have can be the same regardless of any of that stuff.
Or at least don't have to matter. Some people write it in a way that it matters when it shouldn't have to.
Or, and maybe it would be good to show how much it doesn't matter that these two characters can get together.
I very frequently do that in my writing, both as a GM and just as an author. I will switch it. I will be like, huh, the trope says this would be this kind of person.
Yeah.
I'm going to change their race. I'm going to change the sexual
orientation. So if I was making a show, if I was the writer or the showrunner, and I liked what this actor or actress was doing, and they happened to be gay, the character wasn't, I'd probably approach them and say, look, I know you're perfectly capable of doing this. I don't want to insult your acting acumen or chops or anything like that. But if you want to play this character with the orientation that you actually can connect with or that, you know, relate to, I will totally rewrite this for you because that's, I don't see why I shouldn't do that.
And the actor would be like, that's awesome. Let's do that. And then the studio would be like, no, we want to keep them straight.
They might say no to, and that's
no, I'm saying I think this happens. This is what happens. I think a whole bunch of things you are seeing had more characters of color, had more characters that were of different sexual and gender orientations.
And the suit
said
when
they sold the script, they changed it.
Yeah,
because we're still not fucking there.
Well,
you still, it is so, so rare, and I cherish these moments, when you have a gay character or a trans character, or often a character that's of color, and that's not the point. That happens very seldom, where you're like, this is a person who happens to be gay. Very seldom.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people write them. I'm sure people write scripts for it.
It's because we've got an irony out there where on one hand you've got a lot of people in the business, mind you, and a lot of people outside the business too, who want to say, look, you guys pushing all this representation stuff, we don't need that. We don't, you know.
It was good before.
It's just SJW stuff. But then on the other hand, when they're sitting in the room trying to decide who they're going to cast for the movie, they're totally talking about demographics. They're totally talking about how, in other words,
there were never any black stormtroopers.
Well, yeah, that kind of thing. It's like,
absolutely.
They'll say, look, all you guys talking about representation, that's just identity politics. And yet, when they're sitting deciding who they're going to cast,
they're like, well, we picked him because it is a white character.
Yeah, and we want to get a white audience in.
Yep.
It's like, wait a minute, either identity politics are real or not real. They're real when you want to decide you want to cast Scarlett Johansson for an Asian role, but they're not real when someone says, hey, don't do that. This should be an Asian that you're casting.
Yep.
You can't have it both ways. There's
but they do.
Deep hypocrisy.
Oh, yeah.
And irony going on there.
And prejudice. Tons and tons and tons of prejudice.
Well, and defending privilege. Defending privilege is a big thing.
Yes. And as I'm realizing, a fair bit of it is to keep your audience. There's a lot of fuckers out there. There's a lot of racist, homophobic, transphobic people
basically
out there
who don't want to watch films.
And they say, we're going to make this movie, and we're going to be a little progressive, because the liberals will be into that. But we're not going to do it too much, because then all of these people won't see our movie.
Well, yeah, it's like...
And I used to think, yeah, that's just a bunch of fringe psycho-racists. No, that is a significant chunk of the U.S. and Western world population, and maybe entire world population.
This is a big thing with Star Wars right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've got people saying, look, you know, men, and they don't often say white men, but they mean white men, made this franchise what it is, and you can't just, what do they say? You can't just, you know, slap them in the face by putting a lot of women and people of color in these things. And it's like, wait a minute. When the movies that you made before, you would have liked and probably would have insisted that women going to see this movie and people of color going to see this movie could relate to those characters. So why can't the men and the white men relate to the characters now? You're just asking them to do the same thing that you asked all these other people to do for 40 years. But it somehow it doesn't work the same way. It doesn't go both ways at all.
No, because those people are horrible. I mean, that's not... Like, that's not the mystery here.
Yeah, yeah.
Those people suck. They are racist, they're misogynist, they are myopic and narcissistic is the big issue.
But they claim they're not.
They are wrong.
But how can they even claim that they're not?
Because they're in denial. They don't want... They're in denial slash too stupid and myopic to notice. They're in their own head, and from their perspective, it makes perfect sense to them.
I suppose that's true.
But... Where it actually matters, where it gets mysterious, is how much do you believe them? Because, like, in the case of Star Wars, it appears to be a lunatic fringe. Because you know what? Star Wars is still making all the fucking money.
Yeah, mostly.
But in a lot of cases, studios are convinced, and in part because that fringe can be really loud, that it will matter. And so they're not willing to take those leaps. I mean, think about it. The leaps that happened in Star Wars in terms of representation are incredible when compared to the rest of Star Wars. Yeah,
the bar's pretty low.
When compared to just the world, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why they're only willing to take little steps.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll note... We still haven't had an openly gay character in Star Wars. We've had, what, 10 movies now?
Yeah.
Not a single one.
Well, and will...
Although C-3PO was quite camp.
Yeah. Will the DCEU be brave enough to allow Diana to be bisexual?
They fucking filmed a scene in Thor Ragnarok that marked Valkyrie as bi, and it got fucking cut.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if they filmed it, but it was in the script.
Yeah, yeah.
They're only willing to go so far. And we applaud them because it's progress, and we hadn't had progress before. It's still tiny progress. And unfortunately, as I said, my eyes have become opened that it's shitty, but they might also not be wrong in their assumptions. That if they really did push it further, they might lose money.
Well, okay, now see, this is where you and I have typically had long discussions because I think there's some fundamental disagreements about it. I sometimes think...
No, we used to be on the same page.
No. I'm not sure you know what I'm about to say.
Oh, sorry.
It seems like in our conversations for all the time we've known each other, I tend to be more optimistic about what's going on in the general. For example, I would tend to think that they're being very cynical and pessimistic and unnecessarily cautious in their thoughts about demographics and stuff. Whereas like you just said, you tend to think they're probably right, that they probably wouldn't make as much money if they did these things.
No, this is the thing. I think you're misremembering some of it.
Okay.
In the past, we were on the same page about this. I agreed with you that if they did what you would talk about, it would work well.
Okay. Okay.
In recent years, I am now like, oh no, wait, a lot more people are horrible than I realized.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not dance around it. Trump and the Trump phenomenon has been a lot of that. The racists and the homophobes are coming out of the woodwork. The little KKKs are really showing up and being loud.
Yeah.
And I used to think it was just a few loud people, but... There's a significant benefit. So now I'm much less... I mean, I still think it's wrong, and they shouldn't be making the decisions based on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those people are assholes. But I no longer think that they are necessarily making a poor financial decision.
Gotcha, I understand.
For a lot of it, I always thought it was a risk issue as well, because whether or not we believe it would be successful...
Still a risk.
It's a risk. Yeah. But nowadays, I'm like, I don't know if it would be successful. I mean, things are happening, and things are progressing, and we're making changes, and it's still making all the money, and that's great. But it's slow, and I think I get why it's slow. Lately, I've done a lot of telling myself things move towards the progressive in the long run, always. Even if they dip down for a while, things always...
The hands
maiden tail is not happening. We're not suddenly...
Yeah, right.
You know, slavery is not coming back. It goes up and down a lot, but the trend tends to be upward. So I'm like, you know, if it takes 10 years or 20 years, eventually we'll get to a spot where we're better than we are now. And I remind myself, what did people of my similar socio-political views feel during Vietnam, during the Nixon years?
Sure, sure.
You know, they had to live with that. I can make it through. But honestly, I no longer think it's going to be as quick as I thought it was. I think we're in for some dark fucking times.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, I guess I don't. Well, for one thing, as we all know, most of what we're seeing right now was always there. Maybe they were more afraid to speak up, but
yeah,
they've
yeah.
been emboldened by things that have happened.
Yep.
And so, for me personally, nothing has happened that tells me, wow, this is worse than I thought. It seems to be as bad as it always was. It's just now more people are noticing. Well, for example.
Like me?
For example, the whole thing with Sinclair Broadcasting and how everyone has the same news or whatever. That's actually been going on for quite some time.
Yeah.
I'm glad people are noticing it. I'm glad people are saying something about it. I'm glad they're outraged about it. But, you know, I was outraged about it, you know, 10 years ago when it was already going on. And I was part of advocacy groups that were talking about it. Now, there are some things that I've been surprised at, but nothing so far that makes me think, that makes me change my opinion about how many people are actually good, decent people and how many people aren't. Now, here's the thing, though. And we talked about this right after the election, is privilege. And how important privilege is to understand and how it's working in people's lives, because there really is a between the people who are neo-Nazis and the people who are what everyone calls woke, there's a big group in between.
White people.
Who don't hate people of color, who don't hate people who aren't heteronormative, who don't hate these people, but they are privileged, are not entirely aware of that privilege or what it really means to feel threatened by that privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And when they feel threatened by that privilege, and then that motivates them to say things that are pretty sexist and racist, then when they're accused of being sexist and racist, they're completely thrown off by that.
Yes.
Because they're not sexist and racist in the neo-Nazi way. They're sexist and racist in the they enjoy their privilege, and when it's threatened, they will say and do things to defend it.
And consider that their privileged status quo position was the norm.
Yes, exactly.
Like, things were fine back then. No, they were fine in your little bubble.
Right.
For you.
The thing is, though, to help to deal with those people, help, I don't know what the right word is, it's not going to do just to call them racist and to put them in the same group with the neo-Nazis.
No.
You've got to understand who they are, where they're at. And, you know, this is something that you and I have talked about. We've having to deal with our own selves.
Yes.
And the things that make us uncomfortable and realizing, okay, it's good that I feel uncomfortable because this is my privilege. This is something that I have to deal with. But you and I have had specific life experiences that have brought us to that point that other people haven't had.
Yes. Also, this perspective that we have to be kind and open and help them learn and all that comes from a very privileged position.
That's exactly right.
Because when people make that argument, people who are not in privileged positions, who are paying attention, say, yeah, that's what you people told me 30 years ago.
Well, this is why...
And we've still got this shit.
This is why whenever I encourage people to be nice and civil, I'm talking to other white people.
Yep.
And other men. If
yep.
if it's a woman or a person of color and they're angry and they're expressing anger, I do not feel like it's my business to say, "Hey, calm down."
Yeah, no. If
it's
any
not my business to say that.
If
totally understand.
Women or people of color, any particular color or just people of color in general, any of them.
Non-heteronormative people
started together, even all of those people, a giant military revolution overthrow. I get it.
Yeah, I do. Me too.
Yeah. Okay. Your turn.
I would get it too. And I don't feel like it's my place.
And honestly, I would probably join their side.
It's not my place to criticize it or anything else. I mean, but if I'm talking to another man, especially a heteronormative man or another white person, I feel like I can say, look,
yes.
You reach out to these people with some kindness. You know, don't expect the people who've been oppressed to do that, because they've been freaking oppressed. I mean, how can you expect them not to be angry?
And that's an important part of it, is to say, don't go yelling at white people and say, you fucking racist. It won't help.
Right.
Bring them in. But also, when people who aren't white people get really fucking pissed, don't go, come on, we have to be respectful
about this.
You know, like the Republicans have been doing lately.
Right.
Because that doesn't work. It's not working.
Well, it's that's just right. The men and the white people.
It's white people. It's spelled W I.
One word.
Yeah, no, it is. It's W. Oh, shoot. I see it a lot. I think it's W Y I P O. White people.
Well, what I try to do is
W Y P I P O.
What I try to do is someone, if I find out someone saying, this woman, person of color, this non-heteronormative person was mean to me or yelled at me or did whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What I try to do is say, and why do you think that happened? Let's talk about why that happened. And if their answer is because they're mean or because it's reverse sexism or whatever, no, that's not why.
No.
Let's figure out why it happened, because the thing is, there's a reason it happened. It's not about whether it's right or wrong even. It's if these things had happened to you in your life, you'd probably be acting the exact same way.
Yeah.
And you know how I know it? Because look how you're acting when you've gotten just a taste of it.
Yeah.
Because that's all that's happened here, is you've gotten a little taste of what they deal with every day, and look at you, you're a mess. Now, so how do you think you'd feel if you had to deal with this every day like they do? And then people kind of start to understand sometimes, not all the time. But that's the conversation that needs to be had.
Yeah, they also say, you know what? Black people are just angry and violent all the time.
Which isn't true, of course.
No, but that's what I'm saying is they also can very gradually and easily and gently be turned into fucking neo-Nazis.
White people.
White people, yeah.
Yeah.
Men, straight people. All the variations of the privileged.
What I don't understand is,
rich people.
Do people think that people like to be angry, or that they want to be? Like, these people don't just do these things. Things happen in their lives.
The real easy one is it's just biology, man.
Yeah.
That's the really easy, shitty one. But other ones is they're just wimpy, special snowflakes. They want special rights. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, and they're
weak. Remember the 80s and 90s?
And
that's what it was all about. It's like homosexuals should have the same rights as other people, but they shouldn't have special rights.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, homosexuals can get married to another person of the opposite sex. They have the same right we do to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
They want something special. They think they should be a higher level. That's the common one. Because my experience and what I'm doing is the norm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So everybody should be free
to do
what I'm doing, which, by the way, wasn't handed to me.
Right, right, right.
I earned this. Yeah. I was a child in a house just like the rest of you, all exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Therefore, you have the right to earn what I earned and do what I do. You want something else? That is abnormal. That is a special right. You are wanting a superior position.
Yeah, right, 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 right.
I should also be able to marry a dude. Wait, no, sorry. Fuck that up. I should back up.
It's so bizarre when you look at it. You know what I mean? It's like a bad science fiction novel.
It's
just weird.
No, the concept of, oh my God. So I think I told you about Barry. The HBO TV show. It's this weird dark comedy with Bill Hader where he's playing a ex-military guy who's an assassin now.
Yeah.
And he goes to L.A. and ends up, while stalking one of his targets, in a acting class. And he decides he wants to become an actor. And so it's hijinks ensue as he's trying to pursue a career as an actor while being an assassin. But it comes up, and there's things in the class like where people are talking about what a terrible character, whatever. I think he's playing Othello or something. And he starts freaking out because he thinks it's on him, and he's yelling and all this. And afterwards, the rest of the acting class is at a bar or something, and they're talking about how, you know, we should have maybe been nicer to him. And one of them's like, I took this online quiz about whether or not you're in a bubble, and it turns out I'm in a bubble. And I think maybe the rest of the acting class might be in a bubble, too. And later, when they see him, they're like, we owe you an apology. We were in a bubble. We just didn't realize. And it's hilarious. But it's a fucking thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Bubbles are there, and that's what happens. You are raised in it. I have a friend who is incredibly open and kind and not homophobic at all and all this. And she talks about how she absolutely did not used to be that way. The environment she was raised in, that was a thing. And they were weird, and they were different, and it was, like, that's a thing. And she can see that now. Mm. And she's totally cool with everything, but she's like, that's what you think is right. And if you ever listen to a former neo-Nazi skinhead, things like that, they're always like, I didn't really give a shit about black people or Jews.
Sure, sure.
I wanted friends, yeah. And these guys were friends.
I just wanted to belong.
And then my friends would make jokes about the Jews, mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, and I made jokes too, and then I found them funny, and then eventually, I'm like, these are the people I like, these are the people I trust, and they're telling me the blacks have ruined everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I do.
Yep, right, right.
And this is why I am pushing hard to look at black culture and to make myself uncomfortable lately, because when it comes to racial stuff, I'm a little bit in that spot.
Sure, sure.
Like, I don't hate anybody or whatever, but do I get it? Am I really pushing it and things like that? So I'm reading and watching a lot of things that are very unusual to me, showing experiences that are very foreign to me and that in many cases make me uncomfortable. And I frequently, I'm like, is this accurate, though?
Yeah, right.
And I have to check. Because it's like, because it doesn't seem, it legitimately, to me, I'm like, but that's not really what it's like, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
And the answer is yes. And even me, who is very specifically actively looking for this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, take most people who don't want to know, oh, yeah, everything that mm-hmm. you think about how society works is bullshit.
Right, right.
And you're in a position where you're really kind of doing harm just by living your normal life. They don't want to know that.
Yeah, right, right, right.
So they don't seek it out. And if they're presented with it, they would scramble for anything that would tell them otherwise. And I know this because it's not that extreme. I wasn't particularly super racist or homophobic or anything when I was. I wasn't raised like that. But I see a lot of things now and a lot of arguments I made and a lot of perspectives I had that I'm like, yeah, that was some bullshit.
Because bubbles aren't completely or always accidental. I mean,
No. Well, and yeah, sometimes very consciously not accidental, but often subconsciously not accidental.
Right, right.
I get this fucking now. We went out. Me and the producer went out with some coworkers of hers. Mm. It was a thing where they were getting together to drink. She's like, you want to go? So I went. Mm. And it was mostly fine. There were a couple times that I was like, wow, this person is being really aggressive to me. And by the way, this had nothing to do with race. In fact, in both cases, it was what I believe were straight white people, the two I'm thinking of. And I was just like, I suddenly realized later, I was like, no, these are just people who don't agree with me and are upfront about it. I don't get that a lot. Hmm. Like, Trish is exempted because we have early, like, I understand what she's saying and all that, but, like, you very seldom will be like, no, you're wrong. Just like just like that.
Right.
If you disagree with me, you're like, meh. And my friend's that way, too. And in general, I often tend to have a dominant role in my social relationships.
Sure.
And so, and now, and I've known about this one out since I was a kid. My mother used to talk about this stuff too. But now, because I am so, like, I hang out with you, hang out with the neighbors, hang out with my wife, I hang out with my gaming group. That's it. And it doesn't happen in any of those places. So I was like, wow, these people, it makes me, I don't like this. But I'm like, yeah, this is fucking the world. You've got this bubble that I pretty actively work to keep, not consciously.
Mm.
I don't feel like hanging out with other people. I don't have a lot of friends. I can handle the ones I got. So, I mean, it's everywhere. And in my case, I think it's detrimental to my health. I don't know how much I'm fucking up society in the process. But it exists everywhere. We got to draw something else or we're going to get in trouble. And I don't know what happens if we don't draw any. We will probably get our goatees shaved or something. I don't know. It'd be bad.
Craig, have you tried any of the Battle Royale games, such as PUBG? Is that...
It's pronounced PUBG.
Or Fortnite. I know what Fortnite is.
Yeah.
That seem to be very popular at the moment. They've actually been popular for easily a decade now. It's that games and
yeah,
games like
I do think there's a particularly big upper League of Legends and stuff like that.
Exactly, yeah. Sure. And I've never understood the appeal of them. Now, my wife recently started playing Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
Which, it's got some flavor
of
that.
Well, if you play it online.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is one reason why we would never have played it. However, she kind of surprisingly enjoys it. Part of it's because it's in the Star Wars universe, which she likes, especially now.
Yeah.
She likes the new Star Wars universe, as
Shocking.
Do I. So that's part of it. Also, there's the she really likes to play the part where you're flying ships. And that's a little different because, you know, you don't. It's different.
Yeah.
But she has found that she does like playing the part that's like these games. And there's a particular class that she likes to play a lot. I don't think it's going to make her want to play things like Fortnite or anything like that. I think she still is going to have... I think the Star Wars angle on it is huge. I think that's a big reason why she likes it. And I don't think she would like other things. So, no, we haven't really played games like this, and we don't have a huge interest in them. But I know they're popular, and they've been popular for a long time. You don't play games like this.
I don't either, for some very specific reasons. Things I don't do in video games. One, first person. I can't.
There's that. Yeah, I forgot
about
that.
A lot of these are first person. I can't play Fortnite. I can't play. I can't play Overwatch. I would have tried Overwatch if I could have, but it's first person.
Yeah, it was really popular. Overwatch.
Two, I don't play for the challenge and difficulty. And frequently, if you're up against other people who are practicing and playing a lot and stuff, it's hard.
Yeah.
Three, I don't play competitive. I don't even play games at home when I do. If I'm playing a game with other people, which is fun, I want it to be co-op.
Yep.
And four, I don't usually play with other people.
Yeah.
I used to do some MMO stuff. I always thought I would really like MMO, and I did play for a few years. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
I don't fucking like the other people. I like shit that looks like an MMO, but it's really just me.
Yeah. My wife also isn't into competitive stuff. She'd rather be cooperative. She also doesn't feel confident playing with other people. She doesn't want to get grieved.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to all that other stuff. And she doesn't want to make someone mad or hurt someone's feelings either. I mean, that's another
absolutely.
Part of it. So there's that. And she also, she's the kind of person when she plays a video game, well, if there's like a difficulty level that's story, basically it'd be really hard for you to die. She'll play that because she plays it for the story. She doesn't want to master the controls. In fact, she can play like she played Dragon Age, if you recall, like 6 times, and she was still making controller mistakes on the 6th because that's not her thing.
I get a little into the skill. I will take it as easy as I can. That keeps me in the game because there is a point where it's so easy that I'm like, I suck at this, and I'm not even taking damage. So, like, frequently I will play the one above story. I will play the easy
as opposed
to the very easy. But if I'm having trouble, I will totally switch to the very easy.
So when she plays these Star Wars games, part of it's Star Wars. Part of it is she's always part of a team that she's cooperating with.
Yep, which helps. I played some Mass Effect 3 multiplayer in part because of that, because we weren't fighting each other. We were a team fighting the computer.
Yeah. Now, of course, she's fighting people on the other side who are real people, but I think she has appreciated playing alongside other people who are working with her.
Cooperative play can be cool.
I think she's really liked that part of it. And I think sometimes she really enjoys it when she's playing and she gets a really good team, but she's also playing a good team. So it's a challenge.
It can be fun. And it's also a change of pace.
Yeah.
If you give me a game that's online multiplayer and it's not first person and kind of low stakes for me, and I'm not talking with anyone, no headsets involved, I can have fun with that. I have a game on there called Rivals or something that was a PS Plus game I got. It's just these various stages, and you play a vehicle, and you've got a gun, and you've got a special weapon, and you just run around, and like we do capture the flag, stuff like that. And I don't care about it. So if I start losing really bad, it like I'm not like, oh, my character is gonna get bad or anything. And it's fun every once in a while. Every once in a while, I just hop on for a little while as a good change of pace and be fun. Like, oh, can I get good? Like, I'm never good at it, but sometimes it's like, oh, I've been playing for a couple hours. I'm actually starting to get the hang of this.
I don't know if you can play it in third person or not, but with she doesn't play it in third first person. She doesn't play Battlefront 2 in first person.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's not an issue. I don't think she had a problem with first person anyway, but I think she feels like when she's on a good team that's playing another good team, she feels like she improves.
Yeah.
And she likes that feeling.
And I play competitive games and don't like board games and stuff like that. Mm. And I never worry about if I'm going to win or not. I worry about how to have fun.
Right, right.
And so if I can play that in a competitive game, that's fine.
Yeah.
I can play for like an hour a fighting game where me and the other person both have like never played it. That's fun for a few matches.
Sure.
Eventually somebody gets into it more and one person's just beating the shit out of the other one.
Yeah, that's not so fun.
Yeah, that's so fun. But it's like, oh, we both don't know. Oh, let's fuck around with it. Oh my God, what move did you just do that like killed my face?
But it's not her favorite. And as soon as she found out that like, Fallout 76 is going to be online.
Yeah, no, fucking dumb.
Probably won't even play it. She probably won't even try it.
I'm really pissed about that.
I mean, she loves Fallout.
Me too.
And there's going to be building in it and everything.
Yeah.
But just the fact it's going to be online
and competitive.
And competitive sometimes, and people are going to be nuking your site and all this stuff.
No, fuck it.
She doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, I'm really unhappy about that.
But yeah, this kind of game that Craig's asking about, I don't think she's ever going to be interested in that. But Star Wars.
Me neither.
She kind of likes it.
You're wrong, Craig, and that's why.
Well, does Craig like him? I didn't know.
I don't know, maybe. If you don't like him, then you're right, Craig. But here in this bubble, you're wrong.
I know a lot of people who like him.
Yeah, those people are wrong. They're not in the bubble. Shh. They're wrong. They want special rights. We're out of time, and I certainly don't want to spend extra time because I hate this thing. But just remember to listen again next week, and if you like things I don't, then you want special rights, and that's not fair.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.